In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, we are continuing a lesson on Paul before Felix the governor. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 24 for that account. In just a few moments, I'll read Acts chapter 24, 10 through, I think it's through verse 21, and then we'll turn back to Elam's notes, the Sunday school notes that he wrote for the Sunday schools of November the 22nd, 1925, to help guide us in this study. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's refresh where we have been by looking at this reading, and then we'll begin in verse 17 with Elam's notes. Acts chapter 24 and verse 10. And when the governor had beckoned to him to speak, Paul answered, "For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation, I cheerfully make my defense, seeing that thou canst take knowledge that it is not more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship, and neither in the temple did they find me disputing with any man, or stirring up a crowd, nor in the synagogue, nor in the city. Neither can they prove to thee the things whereof they now accuse me. But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they called a sect, so serve I the God of our fathers, believing all things which are according to the law, and which are written in the prophets, having hope toward God, which things also themselves look for, that thou shalt be a resurrection, both of the just and the unjust. Herein I also exercise myself, to have a conscience void of offense toward God and men always. But Felix..." Now Acts chapter 24 and verse 17. "Now after some years I came to bring alms to my nation and offerings, amid which they found me purified in the temple, with no crowd, nor yet with tumult. But there were certain Jews from Asia, who ought to have been here before thee, and to make accusation if they had aught against me, or else that these men themselves say what wrongdoing they found when I stood before the council, except it be for this one voice, that I cried standing among them, touching the resurrection of the dead, am I called this day before thee?" Now with that, let's return to Elam's notes. E.A. Elam writes, "At this point in Paul's speech, he states why he went to Jerusalem, namely, to bring alms to my nation in offerings. A most praiseworthy reason. Study the way this fund was raised and the solemn manner in which was presented to the Jews in Galatians and 1st and 2nd Corinthians and in Romans. Paul then emphasized the truth that the Jews from Asia, who dragged him out of the temple and caused all this disturbance, were the only competent witnesses to prove him guilty of any crime, but that these were absent and ought to have been there. But since they were absent, he was willing for those present to testify to any wrong which he had proved against him in their council at Jerusalem, except that he cried, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called in question before you this day, which was no crime or wrong. He admits that he pleaded for the resurrection of the dead." Now this made an impression upon Felix. Let's look at Acts chapter 24, verses 22 and 23. "But Felix, having more exact knowledge concerning the way, deferred them, saying, When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will determine their matter. And he gave order to the centurion that he should be kept in charge and should have indulgence, and not to forbid any of his friends to minister unto him. Paul made a good impression upon Felix, and from him Felix received more exact knowledge concerning the way. I think it's interesting that the American Standard Version capitalizes the word way, meaning the way of Christ or Christianity. But Felix was a coward, and he deferred them, that is, Paul's accusers, saying, "When Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will determine your matter." There is much in the expression, the way. It stands for the gospel of Jesus and the redemption which is in Christ. Felix ordered the centurion who had charge of Paul to allow him indulgence and not to forbid any of his friends to minister unto him. There was a church in Caesarea, and Philip with his family lived there, and we can well imagine how they delighted to visit and serve Paul in every way. Paul had awakened some interest in Felix concerning Jesus as the Christ, so, after certain days, he and his wife came to the palace, sent for Paul, and heard him concerning the faith in Christ Jesus. Drusilla, as we learn from Josephus, was a daughter of Herod Agrippa, who murdered the apostle James. But she was but 6 years old when her father perished, an account of which we read in Acts chapter 12, 20-23. And as it was in the year 44, and her presence appeared in our narrative was in the year 58, she's now only 20 years old. She had been given in marriage in an early age to Azizus, king of Esma. But Felix, having seen her and become enamored of her beauty, had, through the machinations of a sorcerer named Simon, induced her to abandon her husband and come to him. She was now living in open adultery with Felix. Concerning Felix, it is asserted by Tacitus, one of the most judicious and fair-minded of the Roman historians, that with every kind of cruelty and lust he exercised the authority of a king with the temper of a slave. He and his brother Pallas had actually been slaves in the household of Apina, the mother of the emperor Claudius, and by the letter he had been sent from a position of a slave to that of a ruler over the province. Now let me read to you verse 25. This is Acts chapter 24:25. "And as he reasoned of the righteousness and self-controlled and the judgment to come, Felix was terrified and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.' Having been invited to speak concerning the faith in Christ Jesus, Paul was at liberty to proceed as he deemed best. So he suited his speech to his audience. He reasoned. Paul was a reasonable man. He always sought understanding among those who heard him and would reason with them. So he reasoned. He reasoned of righteousness and self-controlled and judgment to come. What a thing to discuss before this weak, cowardly, covetous, licentious man and this adulterous woman. Righteousness comes from the word right, and it embraces here the commandments and ordinances of God set forth in the gospel of Jesus Christ. To preach the faith in Christ Jesus, Paul showed who Christ was and what Christ had done for the race, and what Christ would have all to do to be saved, that through faith in him, all should live a righteous and temperate life in view of the judgment to come. Paul had been tried before Felix, but Felix, for his inquisitous life of unbridled lust, must stand before Jesus as the judge to an ungodly man and an adulterous woman who spake of righteousness and self-controlled To a cowardly, bribe-loving, and unjust judge on earth, he spoke of the just judgment of God. No wonder Felix was terrified. McGarvey has said that he glanced back over the stained and guilty past of his life and he was afraid. He'd been a slave in the vilest of all positions, and the vilest of all epochs, and the vilest of all cities, and had crept with his brother Pallas into the position of a courtier and the most morally degraded of all courts. He had been an officer of those auxiliaries who were the worst of all troops. What secrets of lust and blood lay hidden in his earlier life we do not know, but ample and undisputed testimony by both Jewish and pagan and sacred and secular sources reveals to us that he had been greedy, savage, treacherous, unjust, steeped in the blood of private murder and public massacre during the 8 years which he now spent in the government, first of Samaria and then of Palestine. There were footsteps behind him. He began to feel as though the earth were made of glass. We may well imagine that speech disturbed Drusilla as well as Felix, although no mention is made of the effect it had on her. God never lets a convenient season come to a man. He demands that he shall be instant in season and out of season, ready to surmount all difficulties and obey God in spite of all hindrances. Paul was in Felix's power. He was a prisoner. There was a great temptation for him to seek and to please the governor and his wife and to palliate their sins. But regardless of the consequences, he spoke the truth and sent the dart home to Felix's heart. Oh, for such preaching today! We later read of the destiny of Felix and Drusilla from secular history. This covetous, unholy desire and willingness to accept a bribe reveals the corrupt state of this man's heart. He knew Paul was innocent, but through the love of money, hoping a bribe would be raised for Paul's release, he would not set him free. Paul would not bribe him. He who bribes an officer is as corrupt as the officer. Paul remained in 2 years in prison under Felix. Felix was removed by Nero, who called him to Rome to answer the charges the Jews preferred against him for his corrupt administration. Hence he left Paul bound, desiring to gain favor with the Jews. Felix was saved from death by his brother Pallas, but was banished to Gaul, where he died. Drusilla followed him into banishment. With that, we come to the end of that Sunday school lesson. And we come to the next lesson, which is about Paul before Agrippa. And as we had read the text between the events leading up to what had happened for the previous lesson, we're going to do so in this lesson as well. And I'll be reading for you Acts chapter 25 and 26. And I'll begin that reading while we have a little time left in this program. Acts chapter 25 and verse 1. Festus, therefore, having come into the province after 3 days, went up to Jerusalem from Caesarea, and the chief priests and the principal men of the Jews informed him against Paul, and they besought him, asking a favor against him, that he would send for him to Jerusalem, laying a plot to kill him on the way. Howbeit Festus answered that Paul was kept in charge at Caesarea, and that he himself was about to depart thither shortly. Let him therefore, said he, that are of power among you, go down with me, and if there be anything amiss in the man, let them accuse him. And when he had tarried among them not more than 8 or 10 days, he went down to Caesarea, and on the morrow he sat on the judgment seat, and commanded Paul to be brought. That is where we will begin in our next class.